Well, we're going to continue our study in the Gospel of Luke this morning. We're going to read verse 24 through 28. In fact, let's back up to verse 23, which was the conclusion of our message last week. Let's read 23 through 28. Jesus, of course, is speaking. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from whence I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said more than that. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Let's pray. Now, Father, this morning we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. I pray that you speak to us today. Lord, this is a difficult passage. But a passage that you included in your word by your wisdom, and it has benefit for us. That we may be instructed, as your word says, of all the inspired scripture. That we may be made complete, prepared for every good work. Lord, speak to our hearts today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said in my prayer, this is not an easy passage to preach from. It's one that God chose to include in the Scripture, a statement, a teaching that Jesus gave us, one that has meaning and purpose, and that we do well to hear it. I have no intention of spending a bunch of time glorifying the devil, or any time glorifying the devil, or focusing on his kingdom, or his the agents of his kingdom, unclean spirits. But as we've been talking the last several weeks since we began in verse 14, where Jesus cast out that spirit that was mute, Luke says, Matthew says that the person was blind and mute. Now, I had made a mistake. I think I'd been saying that Matthew said that he was deaf and mute, but it actually is that he was blind and mute. But Jesus cast the spirit out, the unclean spirit, the demon. All of those words are synonymous in the Scripture. They represent the same being. And when the demon was gone, the mute spoke and his blindness was over, healed, and he could see. And we establish the fact that we live in a dual reality. We live in an existence that is spiritual and physical, and one has a great bearing upon the other. And we talked about that some as we went through those previous verses. And yet Jesus now is going to drive that point home even further. You know, Jesus did a lot of teaching where he took physical things, things that were obvious to us, that we live around us, exist around us, and he used those things to illustrate spiritual truths. He did that a lot. You know that if you've read the Gospels. Well, here Jesus takes a spiritual truth, or a spiritual reality, you might say, and illustrates a physical truth. Jesus has just had this conversation with these religious leaders, these Pharisees who accused him after casting that demon out. They couldn't deny that he cast it out, because when it was gone, the man could see and speak. I mean, kind of obvious that he really did cast out the demon. But they accused him, trying to, of course, undermine him and trying to combat his popularity and trying to preserve their position and their religion. Instead of honoring Christ, they accused him of doing so by the power of Satan. Now in Matthew, Jesus gives them a real stern warning, because he said that he cast demons out by the Spirit of God, and he warned them about blaspheming that Spirit, about accusing the Holy Spirit of being Satan. It was a very sober warning. And Jesus, as you know, has been having this conflict with these religious leaders all through his ministry. And here it has erupted again. And then Jesus makes it clear that men, women, humans can be the housing of demonic spirits. He says in verse 21, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. And he's talking about a demonic spirit that is oppressing, that is dwelling in a person and bringing his control, exerting his control, his oppression in their lives. Then Jesus says, but when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. In other words, sets the captive free. But there he clearly makes it plain that the dwelling of that spirit is a human. And so Jesus elaborates on that now, after having said, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Then he elaborates on that. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. Now, to go out of a man, he has to be inside of him, but separate. I mean, it's not the man. It's not mental illness. It is a spirit, a demon, an agent of Satan, you might say, who has no other purpose but to do exactly what Jesus said Satan came to do, steal, kill, and destroy. When he goes out, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. I don't see any reason to elaborate on that or try to explain it. Jesus said it. It's pretty plain. I can't explain all of it, obviously. Jesus didn't, so I'm not going to. But he says that demon, when he finds no rest, says, I will return to my house. Now, what's he referring to? The man from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, Jesus said basically those very words in Matthew's gospel, but he said one more line after that as Matthew recorded it. In fact, I'll go over there and read it. In Matthew 12, Jesus concludes that statement with, so shall it also be with this wicked generation. Now, most of the time when Jesus makes that generalization of a wicked or this wicked generation, he's talking about the state of religion, the religious leaders, the spirit of religion that he is in direct opposition against. He's talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders. And that's what he's doing here. He's taking this illustration of what takes place in the demonic, in the spirit realm, when a demon is cast out of a person or is gone from a person. And when he comes back and he finds it swept and put in order, all cleaned up, but not filled. But not filled. He goes and takes to himself seven other spirits worse than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Jesus is making a point. Jesus is intentionally driving home the point that these religious leaders have missed. They have missed God's intention. They have missed God's will. They have missed God because they have set their religion and their religious practices over and above their relationship with God. The title I had one for my message today would be Religion versus Relationship. That's what Jesus is describing. He's describing these religious leaders who decided they're going to follow God, they want to know God, and then they got caught up in their religion, in all their laws, and in all their rules, and in all their regulations, and missed God. Jesus made it plain that he was the stronger one, that he came to set people free. He came by the power of the Holy Spirit to release captives. He came so that we could have not merely religion, but a relationship with God. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Mere religious reform without Jesus only invites a worse state of existence. Religion without Jesus is one of the greatest tools and avenues of the enemy to bring death and destruction, to steal, kill, and destroy. Is it not religion across our world without God that is behind most of the violence and death and destruction of our day? Satan thinks religion's a good thing, as long as it doesn't lead to a relationship with Jesus. Jesus or the devil. It's life or death. It's law or love. Jesus makes it plain that there is an enemy. We do live in a physical body, and we are a spiritual being dwelling in a physical body. And there is an enemy. There are unclean spirits, as they're called here, and demonic spirits whose intent is to steal, kill, and destroy, to oppress, to rob, to bring evil, to do anything and everything they can to keep anyone and everyone they can from relationship with Jesus. But Jesus' intent is to cast them out, to set people free. Verse 27, after he makes that statement, the last state of that man is worse than the first, which Jesus, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, you might say, making a comment, making a observation of the state of the Pharisees, of the religious leaders, of Judaism at that point. Worse than the first. And then this lady pipes up while he's saying this and says, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. Blessed. But before you get to that focus, to that point, Jesus wants us to grasp and understand the reality of the enemy and the certainty of his intention, his desire to make us free. His desire for us to know the truth, not just about the enemy, but about him. Kind of like a fellow I read about. He's walking along and he saw a sign in front of a house, talking dog for sale. Intrigued, he rang the doorbell. The owner tells him, dog's in the backyard. Check it out. The man goes to the backyard and he sees the dog sitting there. He says, can you talk? He asks the dog. Yep, the dog replies. So, what's your story? The man says. Well, I discovered my ability to talk when I was young. I wanted to help the government, so I worked for the CIA. I traveled the world gathering intelligence, and I was a top agent until I decided to retire and live a quiet life. Astonished, the man asked the owner how much he wants for the dog. The man said, $10. $10? Why so cheap? Because he's a liar. He didn't do any of that stuff. Jesus came for us to know the truth. And the truth is a person. And he, that person, is our deliverer. She said, blessed. She was extolling. I mean, she was a mom probably, and so she was thinking how wonderful it must be to be his mom. Obviously, she wasn't one of the religious leaders. How wonderful it must have been to give birth to and raise this man. But Jesus responds and says more than that. Blessed or happy. The word blessed literally translates happy. Are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed, happy are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Who's the word? Jesus. Jesus' point is this blessing is far beyond what Mary had in bearing Christ and raising him. This blessing is offered and available to everyone who hears. If you hear the word of God, if you hear Christ, if you recognize Jesus is the Son of God, and recognize you cannot save yourself, the invitation is to you. You cannot save yourself. We must face and accept that. That was what got the Pharisees and the religious leaders into such trouble. The gospel, the good news, is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Not clean yourself up first, not get religious, not do better. It's hear Jesus. Receive him. Welcome him. Keep him. Works-based, legalistic religion only leads to a worse case of demonic activity because it results in pride and arrogance and judgment and hatred and holier-than-thou, ultimately in opposition to God Himself. Jesus brings us the grace of God for eternal life. As Paul said in Romans chapter 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, the danger is getting caught up in religion, in me first and self-sufficient efforts at pleasing God, without recognizing that only in Christ are we acceptable. Only through Christ are we redeemed, and that is free. As He said, we are justified freely by His grace that is in Christ Jesus. Having Jesus Christ in our heart, in our life, having received Him as our Savior and Lord, Following Him, trusting in His grace the rest of our days, is the secure place of freedom in a world oppressed and filled by the devil and his demons. We don't have to live fearful if we belong to Christ. If we're not counting on our religion, but counting on our relationship, on His grace, on knowing Him, then we are free. We are secure. 1 John 4:4, to Christ's followers, to His believers, to Christians, John says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you. Greater is He who is in you. You're not merely empty, swept, and put in order like the religionists. He is in you. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." Now we live in a reality where we are faced with an enemy, where we see things in people's lives, and we see things maybe even in our own lives at times that we know is not of God, that we recognize is a impact, an operation, or an oppression from the enemy. We recognize that in people. Sometimes there's no explanation for the things people do outside of merely or clearly demonic. But we know the one who is stronger, that His name is Jesus. And at His name every knee must bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we know Him, we don't have to fear being in a worse state, because He has filled us. He is there, and we can trust in Him. He is our deliverer and sets us free. If we belong to Him, we have His name. And in His name, we have the authority to overcome.